You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Starcastic Remark. The Stars win, final score 4-1 against the Vancouver Canucks. Mikko Rantanen gets his second goal in as many games. Don't ask if there was a goalie in the net. Doesn't matter. He's got 3 points in two games. He's a genius. Stars bounce back great on the second night of a back-to-back against a tough team that's probably scrapping right now, and Stars take care of business. I'm Chris. I'm here with my brothers James and Ryan. What did you guys think about the game?
Pretty boring game from the start. I mean, obviously the Stars are on the second night of a back-to-back. Secondly, the Canucks just cannot score goals. And that has been their storyline the entire season. I mean, their $12 million player has 12 goals on the season. So that we were in for a slow and painstaking watch, I feel like. And we got that from the beginning. So
I thought it was a good game for the Stars. Honestly, this was a good, I don't want to say a statement win, but they always seem to do really well after they have a bad loss like they did last night. And they made it, you know, kind of interesting at the end of the game against the Oilers, but they did not play well at all. And tonight, excuse me, obviously the focus was on team defense overall. And I think that's the big takeaway you need to take out of this, is the fact that your team defense was much better. Okay, it's the Vancouver Canucks, but you only allow one goal tonight. And then Casey DeSmith was not overtaxed here tonight, but he was very good. And when he needed to make a good save, he did. So, right. I mean, that's pretty much it.
I get what you mean by saying it's not really a statement win, but it kind of is. They responded the way they needed to after giving up 5 against the Oil. And they respond by playing a good team defense game. And, of course, Casey DeSmith helps us out a ton. We got a bunch of super chats. We'll jump right into those first. Here's Nate G. The Stars at night are big and bright. Y'all didn't clap. Great. Deep in the heart of Texas. Thanks, Nate G. That's a regular chat from Nate. Appreciate it.
Sorry, was Brandon, that Nate? Was I on tempo?
No, you were not, and you're a band director. You should be ashamed. Brandon said, Granlund got the monkey off his back, and you should too. Join the Who Care Clubs and support the Chambers Brothers. Perfect. I love that. Gives us a talking point and gives us a shout out. So, yeah, Granlund finally scores a goal. It felt like he could have scored 4 already with Dallas, but it's good to see him get on the score sheet in the goal column tonight.
Yeah, especially after having an empty net earlier in the game too, and kind of messing that one up a bit. Yeah. He was at harder angle on that first one, but this one is just, it's even more wide open. I mean, there's no chance he didn't score tonight.
He's had a lot of chances the last couple of games, and you can see it. It's just, he wasn't able to bury him, or he just couldn't get a full shot off. And as soon as I saw it, I was just like, please. My hands went to my head, and I was just like, please bury that. He did. So he finally gets in the goal column, even though that's his 9th point in 13 games as a Dallas Star.
He's been great on the assists.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like, again, I know that this is his first goal as a Dallas Star, but really, who cares? Honestly, the way that he's been performing has been excellent.
And that really has been his bread and butter throughout his career. His assist numbers have always been almost double his goal numbers. So he's doing what he needs to, but we like to see those goals go in. And I think he's the kind of player that can be like a Vern Fiddler late in the playoffs. Like, he gets you the goals when you really need him. That's just the kind of vibe I get from him. And then Ryan Gardner, another regular with the super chats, says a lot that guys can come in and immediately contribute to the team. Great win. Slap hands. Also, hi, James. Mikko Rantanen, I think we kind of mentioned that on that emergency pod that we did when we got him, is that he is going to fit into the Stars system so seamlessly, and I think he absolutely has. It's been so easy for him to play with the Stars that the way they do it, and he's even on. We see him with a different line combination here tonight. One because Roope's out, but then even when Johnson's moved to the top line, it gets scrambled up a little bit more, and he was perfectly good in all situations. I thought
he's really starting you're really starting to see like why he's getting $12 million a year, and he's getting significantly paid over every other Dallas Stars player, and there's a reason for it.
He looks significantly better.
Yes, and well, I don't want to say he looks significantly better, but you can see that he's got a skill level that's just a little bit above everybody else. It feels like, and agreed. We haven't even seen him do what he can do in the playoffs yet. So that's really where that $12 million is going to come in. So we'll have to wait and see. But so far, so good. 3 points in 2 games and a goal per game. If he does that till the end of the season, great.
And he also has tertiary assist, if you want to call it that. He has the faceoff win on the second goal.
Oh, did they give him that assist?
No.
Oh.
It's a third assist. It doesn't
count. Oh, I get what you're saying now. I get it. That was lame. Anyway.
I thought it was funny.
One area where Rantanen and the Stars in general really struggled tonight was the power play, which is kind of shocking. You get a 4-goal game on the second night of a back-to-back. You feel like a couple power play goals have got to be a part of that, and it wasn't. The power play was actually probably as bad as it's looked since we've come back from Four Nations.
I agree with you, but it still didn't look terrible the entire time. But it definitely did not look up to par with where it has been the last couple of months. That being said, you're going to win games different ways. They found a way to win a different way. I'm not worried about it. You're not going to have your power play clicking every single game. Now, that being said, you can look at the power play here tonight and kind of criticize it and be like, well, the zone entries in particular were very bad. And that's something that they've been on pretty well with Rantanen in the lineup or without him. They've been really good with that. So, I think that was the big glaring thing on the power play.
And honestly, that's more of a big plus towards Vancouver than a negative towards Dallas, in my opinion. I mean, they absolutely stomped special teams tonight.
Yep, I was going to bring up Ryan's comment. He said the same thing. Vancouver had a great PK, yeah, and I 100% agree. They were extremely aggressive on the Stars, gave them no time and space. I thought that was the best part of Vancouver's game here tonight, was how well they killed the penalties. It was super, super aggressive. It was awesome to watch the Canucks do that. We see Harley get another goal to start it off on a little kind of a fluky one. It's trickled around in front. But it's good to see him continuing to rack up those goals. What did y'all see from Harley there?
Yeah, there's a really – it's a crazy thing that he actually gets into that spot. The defender is diving – tries a diving poke check on Lyubushkin on the boards, and Harley takes advantage of that instantly, slides into the middle of the ice and waits for the puck to come to him. And it's lucky that the puck goes in, but even if – Lankinen didn't knock it into his own net, Bork is right there to tuck it in. So I thought it was really good awareness from Harley to take advantage of a defenseman kind of overextending a bit.
Yeah, and there wasn't really much on that play, like you said, Chris. It was just they had forecheck. They were getting their forecheck going. It just goes up to the point. You know, there's not much there to find. Harley throws it at the net. It happens to make its way in. So yeah. We'll take it where we can get it.
I like James's point there that Harley seems to take that space a little bit more than Miro ever did too, though. Like when he gets the puck from the point, he's peeling out to the center of the ice, dancing on that blue line. He's looking for a chance to go in and take that shot, which is something that Miro doesn't really look to do. He's kind of staying on the blue line, looking where he can move the puck to make a great pass, more so than trying to score. So I really think that Harley's step up and play, that's been a big part of it, how aggressive he is offensively, especially even in the cycle, which is where he scored several of his chances here. You mentioned Bork being on the doorstep there, James, on that goal. I thought he looked really good tonight. He was slotted into his more comfortable center role, and I think it really helped him.
Yeah, I mean, he looked great there. I thought he especially looked better when he had Ben and Dodonov beside him. I mean, that felt pretty seamless. I thought in terms of that, I thought Duchesne kind of looked rough until he got away from that line. So, but Bork really, really slotted in well into the center position after playing wing for pretty extended time, honestly.
Yeah.
I honestly felt like with Duchesne, his back-checking defense is really good. So, like, if it's off the rush, it seems like he's normally there. But if it's, like, cycle in his own zone or something like that, he seems to get off and he loses his person, which that kind of happened tonight.
That's exactly what happened tonight. He's on his defenseman up on the point. He does a give and go, and Duchesne doesn't follow him. And that's how he got so wide open on that play. It was a great read by that defenseman, too. I'm wondering if they looked at some film on the bench there and saw, hey, Duchesne's not following his guy after he gives off. I really think that could have been something because he passed it off and immediately went to the net. And that's a defenseman that's not a goal scorer.
It's a normal play too, though. It's very common for the give and go type of thing. I think it's more of just a misstep from Duchesne. I mean, is just complete brain fart because that is something that you could see the second the goal went in, you're like, ooh, that Duchesne messed that up badly.
Total miss.
Now, to be totally honest on that particular goal, I think we can give a lot of credit to Vancouver, though. I mean, there is a lot of times we criticize our own players, and sometimes it's literally just because it was just a really good play by the other team. Now, both can be true. I just think it was more of a good play by Vancouver there because, I mean, Forbert was – I mean, it was wide open. And, I mean, Duchesne normally is there, but sometimes he's not. He wasn't there on that play.
That's someone when you're playing man, you don't – someone doesn't get that wide open ever unless when you're playing man defense unless you mess up. So
they do the reason, weird – go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
It's just the reason he's so open is because Duchesne just left him.
They kind of do like a weird zone man-on-man hybrid thing. I don't know if y'all have seen that from the Stars.
I don't think it's really zony at all. I think they're just they readily give up their players and pass it off if there's any kind of weird movement between them. You know, like in basketball, when someone sets a pick, you just switch guys. I think that the Stars just easily do that. I don't really think it's very zony because you can see a defenseman all the way up at the point for the Stars defense. It happens. Another thing I want to talk about was Zachary's comment here. Oh, someone else commented, so I missed it. This one. Zachary said, every offensive zone attack looks deadly when Rantanen is on the ice. And that's 100% true. That's something that in the playoffs, I think we talked a lot about last year, especially when playing against the Avs and against the Oilers, is like anytime McKinnon's on the ice or McDavid is on the ice, you're just holding your breath and just hoping that they don't score because it feels like they can whenever they want to. And it definitely feels that same kind of way with Rantanen for the Stars, which is something different that I feel like we really haven't had a guy that can take over that way.
It's nice to have a guy on this side of the aisle now, isn't it? And it's in that even in the first game we saw, there was like some plays where it looked like Rantanen was like out of space or something. And he'd just make a quick little play and you'd be like, oh, it wasn't like a gasp moment. Like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. It was just like a pretty good play. We see Duchesne do that every once in a while with his speed. Same thing with Roope, but Rantanen has been doing it consistently the last two games.
What's kind of different with what Rantanen finds is that typically he finds it from the boards into the slot. And the amount of times that he does it in a game is kind of stupid. Like it doesn't make any sense. He's getting pressured on the board. There's no more space. There's a dude right on top of him. And he finds the perfect pass to the dude who's wide open to this.
He picks the puck off the board so effortlessly. It's so easy for him. It seems like that's something I really noticed too, James. It looks awesome. Another thing to point out here tonight that we haven't talked enough about, Ryan saying DeSmith was a DeWall to tonight. That's a little bit of a stretch, Ryan, but I'll take your comment and use that to talk about how great DeSmith was. And he really was. He had made some massive saves. He didn't have the rebound control like we like to see, really, but he was super scrambly and really fought for every puck that was coming near him tonight. And he did exactly what you want your backup goalie to do.
I honestly thought he was one of the Stars' best players tonight. And especially on a second night of a back-to-back, that's kind of what you need from a guy like that. Robert tweeted this on X. Last season with Vancouver, he was 12-9-6 with an .895 save percentage. And this is Casey DeSmith. This year with Dallas, he's 12-6 and a .913 save percentage. And that was, you know, I think he's won like 10 games since December 1st or something like that, which for a backup goalie, that's pretty handsome. That's pretty good. So he's been really good for the Stars, especially the last couple of months here.
Yeah, he's won five straight.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome. And the Stars have given a lot of goal support as of recently, but still, as a backup goalie, winning five straight is pretty awesome because you get put in some terrible situations.
Yeah. And so honestly, I think a big part of him being so much better is he is the backup in Dallas. I mean, Vancouver, he was Demko is completely injury prone, and he's constantly in the spotlight. He was their number one for a long time, and it obviously took a toll on him. But with him being in this backup spot, I mean, he's been spectacular.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. It might not feel like it, but spring's right around the corner. Know how you can tell? Golfers are hitting the links, and we have some tournaments to be talking about. And if you want to do more than just talk, put your money where your mouth is. Get in on all of the tee to green action with DraftKings Sportsbook. From Thursday's opening round through the closing round Sunday, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with tournament props, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. And if you've never bet on golf before, it's easier than you think. Just pick something simple like a golfer to win the tourney and make your pick. It's just that easy. For example, when you look at the Masters coming up here in a little less than 2 months now, Scottie Scheffler is the winner right now, according to DraftKings Sportsbook odds, with a plus 350. Or you could go with Rory McIlroy at a plus 750. Here's something special for first-timers as well. If you do go and bet for one of these two guys, new DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casinos and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. It makes me wonder whether we will see him more down the stretch, because we've talked about lately how Ottinger has not been as sharp, and I don't know if that's just the way the Stars play in front of DeSmith compared to Ottinger, and I don't know, but I don't think they change anything. But it always seems like that both goalies get the run support like they need, but Otter has been letting in a lot more of the ones that you would expect him to save lately. And again, maybe that's just the thing of he's got the pressure of being the number one, and DeSmith is obviously not the number one, so he's got less pressure on him. But do y'all think we see more 50-50 splits kind of going down the stretch? Maybe not 50-50, maybe more like 60-40. And you know, DeSmith gets a little bit more starts down the stretch, because I think we could.
Otter's right now he's the playing guaranteed really, really number well. One. The worst thing you can do for a goalie going into the playoffs, like Otter, who plays with an ego, is take away time. I think that's the absolute worst thing you could do. We've got one more back-to-back set before the season ends. So for sure, DeSmith gets in there. But there's a lot of like game day off for an extended period of time. So we might see DeSmith get in on a couple of those as the season ends, which is kind of abnormal because we know Otter likes to play as much as he can. But I don't think it's going to be anywhere near 60-40. Otter's still going to be getting the lion's share of these starts. All right. And then the last thing to talk about is another comment from Zachary. Stanky took care of Winnipeg for us tonight. So the Stars gained 2 points. Stankoven scored the eventual game winner after a late goal from the Jets. And yeah, major swing later this week. The Stars are going to play the Jets in their next game on Friday. Full week off for the Stars, which will be great for especially Thomas Harley and Esa Lindell. But it'll be good to get some practice time with Mikko Rantanen as well, I think. So big thanks to Stanky, and big break here for the Stars.
they were like consistently gushing about him on the Hurricanes broadcast today. Like it was so fun to listen and watch that game. I watched the thing from beginning to end. And when he was in front and he scored, I flipped out. I was just like, yes, please, yes. And at that point, it was 3-0. So, and it is quite a contrast to look at X and talk about, like, the difference in how the Dallas fans are towards Carolina and, like, rooting for them because of Stankoven, and then how Carolina is absolutely not doing the same thing with Dallas because of Rantanen.
You can't blame them, in my opinion.
No, and that's what I said. I'm just like, I don't blame them. But then I'm seeing some other things, and I'm not going to call them out, but there's one particular comment that if you go and look on the X profile, you'll find it, if you really care that much. But there was someone who was just like, this lineup is a superstar lineup, and this team has, like, no chemistry. And I'm like, tell me you don't watch Dallas Stars hockey without telling me you watch you don't watch Dallas Stars hockey. And I was just like, okay, dude, like come on, like, chill. Yeah.
The number one scoring team in the league since January 1st has no chemistry. I think that's hard to believe, for sure. James, any thoughts on Stanky's goal?
Yeah, I was really excited for him. It's right in front of the net too. I mean, that's where he's going to be all the time. Even though he's 5'8", he is the stupid monster in front of the net.
Yeah, and I've said it before, he's exactly what Brendan Moore wants on the team. He's go after it, get the puck, get it up top. I mean, he can do that all day. That's what he's best at. And I really think he's going to be a better player in Carolina than he ever would have been in Dallas. I think that system is going to fit him perfect.
And he also gets to play with some fantastic guys too. And just like he got to play with Robo and Hintz, he gets to play with Sebastian Aho and Evgeny Svechnikov. Like, those two guys are great. And he's going to play. Go ahead.
And I think that spot's more solidified for him too. So where the Stars are thinking he might not be in the lineup come playoffs, he is for sure in Carolina's lineup come playoffs. Big break week coming up for the Stars. 4-day break. Next game's on Friday against the Jets, which is a huge game. Then the next one is on Sunday against the Avs. Rantanen gets a return home really quickly before we even get to see him in the AAC, which will be extremely exciting. And that game's going to be nationally televised. That's going to be all over X, which will be fun. But then as you go throughout the rest of the season, the Stars have one more 2-day break. All the rest are 1-day breaks. So it's jam-packed down to the wire. So we really need to take advantage of these next 4 days. And I think you're going to want to see at least 2 full practice days before you face the Jets on Friday.
Yeah, you know, this is one thing I actually wanted to bring up too, since you're bringing up the schedule. I forgot who said it. I think it might have been you, James, in our little group chat. We were talking about the Stars haven't really played a whole lot of top offenses lately. And I think it was like top 10. And the two teams that we have played who are in the top 10, we've lost to lately. So that worries me a little bit, because we have been talking about the defense and how that is a weakness for the Stars. Going forward, do you think the Stars are going to lean more upon their offense, or do you think they're going to try to go more with a balanced approach?
They already have. They've been leaning on their offense since Miro got hurt, and it's been working out for the most part. So if we can keep scoring at this pace, absolutely. There's going to be times like tonight where you got to bring it back down to earth and be like, hey, first period, let's just make it as boring as possible, like they did tonight. And we can do that. We can prove we can play defense. And against teams like Avalanche and Oilers, we're just going to have to suffer the consequences of those best players and wait until Miro can come down and help us shut them down.
And it's obvious in the goals against per game. I mean, I think with Miro in the lineup, it's 2.48, which is very, very good for the NHL nowadays. And now it's up 0.3. I think it's up to 2.78 since he's been out. So that's not very good odds right now. But with the Stars scoring the way they are, I mean, again, another four-goal game for the Stars here tonight. But It's we're just gonna have to rely on our offense to kind of take care of business here for the long stretch of the season. The only other thing I did want to mention was Roope Hintz.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't talked about an update on him. The only update I have is there is no update, basically. It's the same thing. He went back to Dallas. He obviously didn't play in the game here tonight. We expected that. I didn't see this last night after while we were doing the podcast, but the word they were a lot of people were using was optimistic. So that's good news. So that means it's not something major. It's not like a broken bone or something.
DeBoer
like
said
that.
Pregame today that he's day to day.
So he could play Friday technically,
right?
Considering how much time they got off,
right? And it should be good, but be careful because Hockenpah was listed as day to day, and he had a career-ending injury. So yes, it looks like it should be okay, and he'll be back pretty soon. But take it with some salt because there has been some crazy stuff that's happened.
Natalie over there too saying, "Do we know when Sagan and Miro return?" It's probably. With Sagan, it sounds like it's going to be game one of the playoffs. He'll be ready. With Miro, they said maybe the first round. Maybe. So,
Jim Nill said Sagan might actually return prior to playoffs starting. He said he might get into the last week or two of the regular season. I don't know if he actually can. We should do a little cap crunch and see if that's even going to be legal for them since I think they're a little bit over the cap still with LTIR work. Yeah, Miro is a little bit later, I think.
So it'd be really close.
It would be really close.
Okay, so he might or might not get in.
We'll have to DM Puckpedia.
Hey, Puckpedia, help us out here.
Right. All right, biggest winners, biggest losers. Who y'all got?
For me, I'm going to go with the Smith tonight. Because I'm just going to pull the razor and just be like, he was our best player tonight, and you need a really good, solid backing, especially after the game the Stars had yesterday, which, yes, it was slightly Otter's fault, but the team defense was also not good around him either. So Casey DeSmith, for the most part, a little bit of the team defense. Biggest winner.
James?
I'm giving mine to Jason Robertson. He played almost 20 minutes of ice time tonight, and he had that crazy shift in the third period, mind you, on the second night of a back-to-back, where he gets all the way back in the zone, breaks up a play, takes it the other way, and scores with Duchesne's help. I mean, that was a nuts shift from him, and that really kind of locked the game, honestly, for me. Because even when Vancouver was pressing, it never felt like they were going to get two more to tie it.
Yep.
And people say he's not a two-way player.
My biggest winner, Ryan did it last night. I'm going to do it tonight. Matt Dumba. He had another great game. Probably his two best back-to-back. And he plays almost 18 minutes time on ice tonight. It allows our top guys to lower their time on ice. Harley was only 21-32. Lindell, 20-31. CC, 20-38. So it was a great game for Dumba, and if he can keep playing like this as we go down the stretch, who knows? Maybe our defense goals allowed will drop like they were before.
It's weird because it feels like that bubble might have affected him more than any of us were thinking even, because I feel like as soon as he got that bubble off, he started playing a lot better.
Yep.
I'm also starting to wonder if he keeps his spot in the lineup in the playoffs if he keeps playing like this, because yeah, we talked about how, you know, Stankoven might not be in the lineup because he only plays on the power play and he doesn't score and stuff like that. Well, Dumba's on the power play unit right now, and I know that might change with Miro coming back in the lineup. But
it will.
Might change.
I was trying to give him a little bit of leeway, Chris. I was trying to be...
Not on the power play.
Don't say wrong things.
I didn't say the wrong thing. I said might. But if he keeps this play up, I think he will get in the lineup over CeCe.
Yeah, well, and right now he has more time on ice than Bischel and Lyubushkin, and tonight he deserved it. I don't think he'll get in over CeCe because CeCe has actually been fantastic since he came to Dallas. He's been way better than anyone has given him credit for. He's consistently our third highest minute eater, and he's been pretty invisible, which is exactly what we want CeCe to do. So I think right now CeCe's outplaying Dumba and Lyubushkin. So I disagree with who you say he's going to swap out for, but he has been playing himself into a lineup spot as of recently.
Yeah, and CeCe actually has 6 assists now since joining the Stars, including this game tonight.
Yeah, and that one was to Granlund. So it was CeCe Granlund for the two newcomers teaming up. That was awesome.
With Rantanen in front, causing the screen a little bit.
Yeah, but he didn't get a point, so we don't care. Biggest loser.
It was all the new... I was trying to say the storyline.
Biggest loser.
Fine. The biggest loser for me is the scoring of the Vancouver Canucks. I think was it 53 goals in the third period? That's the worst in the NHL. I think since January 1st, it's been like 2.28, is if I remember correctly. It was below three goals a game, which is ridiculous. So for me, all we had to get was two tonight, and we could have been fine. So that's the biggest loser tonight, easily, is the Vancouver scoring.
James.
The biggest loser is Pettersson.
Which one?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, and that is not the wrong answer, because one Pettersson's minus three. The other Pettersson is... Oh, he was even. All right. That's fine. Well,
and then the other one's minus two. So, I mean,
the other one was minus two. I was looking for the other one. I couldn't find the other one. Man, there's too many.
Well, the $11.5 million Pettersson is an embarrassment right now. And he actually hit the post early on.
So, he almost actually scored.
He almost got it.
Yeah, he's literally getting $1 million a goal this year.
Yikes. That's tough. Mine is Lankinen. I mean, he only faced 18 shots and allowed three goals. Like, I know there wasn't, the Harley one, you probably want him to stop just with better positioning is probably better. And then the Granlund one, he punched the rebound, but he punched it right into the prime scoring chance. So, not great.
I'm going to come to Lankinen's defense a little bit, because he gets thrown into a situation that really sucks. Like,
and he really sucked in that situation.
I'm talking about in the full season context, Chris. Dang, you're so mean to other players.
I'm hot.
Like, this guy came in and he's been very good for them overall. He might have had a rough game here tonight. Yes, the rebound, I think, was probably not his best bet. But when you're coming in and trying to fill in for Thatcher Demko, who, when he's at his best, is one of the best goalies in the NHL, and you're basically having to plug a hole that you shouldn't be trying to plug a hole in, and he's done admirably in it, I don't think you can say he's the biggest loser.
That's just got the fan biggest winner, Granlund, from Zachary for scoring. Obviously love that, getting him on the goal list. And then Nate G, biggest loser, Nils Höglander's glove for the volleyball spike. I like that one. All right.
Well, and yep. At least he didn't try to play it off and be like, oh, yeah, oh,
he
no.
Knew.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, crap. He said it on his face.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here tonight, guys. We'll see you again on Wednesday night for some ramblings on some Dallas Stars hockey before the next Dallas Stars game, which is on Friday at 7 in Winnipeg. And it's a big one against the Jets. It gives you a chance to crawl within actual striking distance, I would say, if you win that one. It could be huge. Thanks to all of our WCC members. They just help us out a great bit. Really helps with Ryan getting to the arena. That's the big one that it's helping out with right now. If you want to join that, you can go to sarcasticremarks.com. Just give us a little donation, and we give you a little bit of extra goodies, too. You get to see Ryan's game notes. We got to get the watch along set up. That'll be set up soon. Friday would be a good one. Big game. We'll get that talking about. It would be huge. James wouldn't be there, but we don't need James.
Oh, that was so mean.
Be sure to check out DraftKings. Use that promo code THPN.
He's crying, Chris.
You'll get some goodies from them, and it lets them know that we sent you there. Check out the website, sarcasticremarks.com, and the merch store, sarcasticremarksshop.com. By the way, WCC members get some, they get the merch at cost. So you get some benefit there. Even if you just want to buy a shirt, join WCC, then buy the shirt. Big. What else, Ryan? What am I missing?
5-star review anywhere you listen to the podcast, and on YouTube, click like, subscribe, notification bell. And yeah, that's about it.
That's about it. All right. Well, the Canucks got Canucked. I don't know. GG, boys.